Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday. Friday, June the 19th, 2026. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. Last Friday in the season of spring. Summer pops on us on Sunday, June the 21st. Now, I've got some news and notes here before we get the show started this morning. The Bobby Floyd Trio, hosted by Shauna McNamara, featuring local artist LaCosta Mays and comedian Cameron Steele, will be performing tomorrow, June the 20th, at the May Pavilion at the Palace Theater. Doors open at 6 p.m. Entertainment starts at 6:30. Silent auction, 50-50 drawing. General admission, $40. Pre-sale only. You will not want to miss this event. It is a great, great event. Bobby Floyd, Marion's only native-born Grammy Award winner. I've went to this show the past 2 years. I'm looking forward to it this year. It is a great uptown fun event. And I also hear that a lot of local sponsors are supporting this event, including Shamrock Insurance. So it should be a fun night tomorrow night here in Marion. Now, the America 250 celebrations are coming up. Red, White, and You weekend, America 250, Thursday, July the 16th, 4:30 p.m. Downtown's third Thursday goes Red, White, and Blue. Friday, July the 17th, 3 p.m. We're not really sure what this is yet. It's either, I think it's Etowah's Grand Homecoming. Not sure where that will be or what it is, but maybe we'll find out as time goes along. That's 3 p.m. on Friday, July the 17th. 4 p.m. on Friday, July the 17th, Homecoming Picnic at the Harding Library and Museum. Saturday, July the 18th, 10:30 a.m., a wreath laying ceremony at the Harding Memorial. 12 p.m., OHIO, what a celebration, birthday block party at the Exploratorium. 7:30 p.m., Marty Stewart and his fabulous superlatives at the Palace Theater here in Marion. That's an uptown performance. And for people who are upset that the Popcorn Festival will not have country music this year, well, you can't go any more country than Marty Stewart. That's Saturday, July the 18th, 7:30 at the Palace Theater. Sunday, July the 19th, 2 p.m., an old-fashioned ice cream social at the Women's Club Home. And at 7 p.m. on the 19th, July the 19th, a concert in the park with the United in Harmony at McKinley Park. So a lot of great events going on. Red, White, and You weekend, America 250 here in Marion as America celebrates the 250th anniversary of our country. All right. Well, something else I wanted to mention before we get the show started here on this Getaway Friday morning. My first daylily popped. Now, I try to discuss this every year. My first daylily popped, and I'm not sure if this is a good sign or not. For any of you who have daylilies, now mine are burgundy petals, and they're yellow on the inside. They're the most beautiful flower in the world, and apparently you don't have to do anything to keep them coming back, because I've had them coming back now for at least 11 years. And God knows I don't do anything much in the garden. But the problem is the first major storm that comes by that blows wind knocks your daylily petals off and they're gone for the rest of the year. So they're only there, you know, as long as you don't have a storm. But I'm a little worried. I think they're blooming a little early. Yesterday I saw the first daylily pop. And this morning, I saw another one of the buds getting ready to pop, and it's not even summer yet. So I think this is a little early for the daylilies, but the first one did bloom yesterday, and the second one is getting ready to pop. So it's not good because the first major storm that comes by after they bloom blows the petals right off. But that's a little update on the daylilies, which I like to do every year. Matt Morgan joins us live here in the studio on this Getaway Friday. Matt, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Is your mic on? Oh, they flipped the mics on us. Well, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, I bet that's your mic.
Yeah.
I don't know why they flipped the mics here. Oh, what goes on Linda's show? I'm going to be in here one day when she does her show, but there's more furniture moving during Linda's show. She wins the award in 12 years for most furniture moved on a show. I just looked over there and I thought, well, the purple mic is not the mic that's supposed to be there.
Yep, I didn't notice it until you said something.
But maybe they were flipped on Wednesday. Maybe we did it because I didn't have anybody in here yesterday. In any event, here we are on Friday. The big conversations this week. Well, let's start. There's another thing going on today. But let's start with this whole dumpster gate, as some people are calling it. As many of you know, we've talked about it for a couple days now, and a lot of people have opinions on this. But apparently, for the last 2 to 3 years, we really don't know the time frame, the city has been giving dumpsters to anybody who will ask for them for $50, and you can have them as long as you want, clean up your blighted property, throw your garbage away in your house, clean up your roof, whatever, $50 from the city. That's a nice thing. Problem is, nobody knew about it. So, apparently this was outed in the last week that this was going on, and when the city found out that it had been outed, then the city said, well, now wait a second, this has been available for everybody for the whole time it's been out, but now that everybody knows about it, it's no longer available to everybody, and now we've got to go back and think about the price and so on and so forth. So, here we are. You were here for this meeting and explanation on Monday.
Yeah.
Or at City Council for it.
I mean, they were even asked at one point because, I can't think of his name. Rob.
Cowell.
Yeah, Cowell. So Mr. Cowell was going over the whole thing because it was brought up, and he said that, anybody could have got one, you know, but
nobody knew.
Yeah, but it was brought up, and they were like, oh, that's pretty good, and they asked where you could find information on this, and he was like, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So,
and now we're looking at it to raise the prices and change the format. So do you really think it was available to the public?
No.
No.
I mean, it certainly seemed not at the very least. They didn't do anything to make it available to the public.
Well, here's the thing. The point that I've been trying to make all week, and I'm not trying to say anything disparaging against Mr. Cal, but he happened to be the spokesperson for this particular incident. Now, if a program is implemented and you really believe that it's available to anybody who wants it, yet there's no place to be found where anybody would know about it, and when people do find out about it, you're changing it. Did you know about it? And if you didn't know about it, then how public could it be? You know, so to say that it was open to anybody, that's not really on the level.
I don't know. Maybe if you're like, maybe if you just, it's like a secret menu item. You know, you gotta call them up and be like, "Yo, can I get a trash can or a dumpster?" I guess.
Yeah, but as soon as the public finds out about it, then again, you're changing the rules and saying, "Well, we can." I don't think the city would have the resources to do this.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I think that they kind of realize that they shot themselves in the foot, so to speak, and that now it has to be like a public thing. But then I think they probably realize that they do not have the means to make it a public thing, so they have to, you know.
So when they say that it was a public thing for the last few years, was it really, or was that just them trying to cover their rear end for a program? Now, I guess theoretically, if you had known, maybe they would have gotten you one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might be one of those things where, like, in theory, it was open to the public. If somebody from the public called and was like, hey, can I get one of those dumpsters? Maybe they would have, but I think that, but I don't think they were doing anything to tell anybody. So.
And the timeline is very strange on this, too, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Mr. Cal said on Monday, 3.5 years. Well, that seems a little calculated as well, because three and a half years would just put it into the Schertzer administration and not into the Collins administration. But couldn't he have just gone and checked when the first dumpster was delivered?
Maybe, but I mean, I don't know. I'd assume you have to keep receipts on those kinds of things, but I mean, I don't really know. I mean, it was like an off-the-books program. I mean, I don't know how you really keep tabs on that kind of thing.
Well, and again, I'm not coming down on Mr. Cal here, but this is what we've had the last 2.5 years in the city. It seems as if any time there's a problem, every time the administration tries to explain it, they put one foot forward because it seems as if they do want to explain it, but then they trip over that foot because they say things that they either are not being honest about or don't know to be true. And you don't do that. You if it takes time, it takes time to find the answers. Go find the answers and say, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want you to potentially lie to me, you know?
Well, I think it hurts the narrative is why they don't do it. Why they don't say I don't know is if you're going to say three and a half years ago and you're going to say it was open to the public, well, then you can't say I don't know because people are going to say, well, how'd you know about that? And I think that's what they weigh in their head. But in the end, they end up giving false information.
Well, giving false information is not good. You don't, you know, that's you will build a lot of distrust with the false information.
Well, I think that ship might have sailed a long time ago. And they don't do media.
But it's never too late to be repaired. You just got to start telling the truth. And then, you know, I mean, like, I think you could fix it. They just haven't.
Well, that's one of the helps of media, because you can say, hey, can I come on tomorrow? And you come on and say, you know that thing I said Monday night? Wrong. More information now has shown that that's not exactly correct. But they don't like the media, so they don't do that. And, you know, here's what you get.
I think that doing media and talking to the public is, you know, par for the course. I mean, it's just the job.
So there's that. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I know we've talked about this quite a bit, but the mayor also was not there on Monday, so, you know, he didn't have a chance to explain. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, happy Friday.
Yeah, I was just happy Friday to you, Matt. Matt just made a comment that, and I'm not trying to come after Matt, but it was like, it was kind of just a nonchalant cavalier, you know. It was an off-the-books adventure or whatever, da-da-da-da-da. How does a city administration, how does city government do anything off the books?
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it was an off-the-books program. I mean, that's just the truth. It was an off-the-books program.
Well, that's something you and I accept. And again, I want to be clear. I'm not coming at you, Matt. Just the way it came across on the radio is that it was kind of like, oh, well, you know, it's just what it is. And I'm not picking on you, but I just want to say, you know, maybe that's part of some of our problem is that we just kind of accept that shit happens. So we need to dig deeper. And again, I'm just using that to you know, illustrate that.
Well, I mean, it's kind of been done. I mean, you know, they had to, I mean, you know, believe them or don't believe them, I mean, they had to make it a public program if it wasn't a public program. And if it was already a public program, then they are now at least, like, advertising it and changing the rules because, obviously, they didn't think it through very well.
But, I mean, they would almost, I mean, as I said yesterday, there has to be some kind of a paper trail because people had to call to get the dumpster. Then the supervisor or whoever runs all that, the garage, city garage and all that, had to then send people, workers, city employees, in a truck, take it out there, drop it off. They're, you know, on city time. They have to be covered under workers' comp and all these type of things. And then they had to, you know, then somebody had to call at some point and say, hey, come get this thing because I need it dumped. And then later on, somebody had to say, hey, come get this because I need it, you know, just picked up. So there had to be addresses, names, all of that. I'm flabbergasted that, and not you, again, I want to keep saying, I'm just illustrating the point that every time I bring this up to people, it's kind of just accepted that, well, we all know they didn't do that, Phil. We know there isn't any record of it, Phil. That's the story right there.
Well, also a point that needs to be made that I think we should make is that city council is the legislative money end of this whole thing. And to my knowledge, a line item was never created to put this money in by city council. So I'm not even sure where the money was going.
And you know, the city needs the money. And again, as I said yesterday, they burnt through a lot of money. You know, they put decals and wraps on everything and all this, that, and the other. And then they want to raise the prices on sewer and sanitation and trash. They raise our trash price.
It's true. And you know something I would like to know as I've been thinking through this whole thing? You know, $50 is $50, and we don't know how many dumpsters went out over the last 2 or 3 years, however long this program's been around. But regardless, I mean, you can't just collect money as an administration or a department. And first of all, I do not believe that a department just came up with a whole program and started collecting money and never said anything to an administration official, never said anything to city council. I mean, we're talking on the level of illegality here if you did that.
Well, I think an off-the-books... I'm no lawyer, but it would seem to me that an off-the-books program with no money trail is probably in and of itself illegal. I mean, you got to keep money trails and those kinds of things.
Well, departments cannot create programs and collect money and not advertise it or say anything to administration or council. So I'm not even sure.
At least in the traditional sense of city government, they cannot.
Well, right, but I mean, we've now got Mr. Cal on record saying he knew nothing about it, so we know that this program has operated for at least 2.5 years without the administration knowing about it, unless Collins did, and I would hope that he spoke to Collins before he made these statements.
Cal spoke to Collins.
There's a lot of pieces to the puzzle here, because there had to be phone calls. People had to, somebody had to answer those phones. Somebody had to then say, hey, so-and-so, I got you and so-and-so take the truck and take the dumpster to this place. So there had to be a lot of communication, and for everybody to just kind of be like, oh no, I mean, that doesn't instill a warm and fuzzy feeling in the electorate about, like, wow, we love our city and we love how everybody's running it.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Monday was not a full city council meeting, but this Monday will be a full city council meeting, and will anybody get up there and say, how many of you council members knew about this program?
I'd be happy to get up and say.
Well, I'd be interested to see a show of hands on that one. And if none of them did, then isn't this an illegally operating program?
I would make them say words or something, because that way it's like truly on the record. It'll be there on paper too.
Yeah. So there we are.
Well, and I'd like to just real quickly on that say, and give a shout out to the council, some council people. You know, Aaron Rollins, Thad Smith, you know, I think they show independent thinking, courage. I want the people to listen to what they say, pay attention to them. I guarantee at some point there's going to be a concerted effort to get rid of these politicians.
Well, and also, by the way, somebody should ask the mayor, I mean, in a nice tone, you know, did you know about it? You've been here 2.5 years now. Did you know anything about this? Because I can't imagine dumpsters were being delivered to people's homes.
Well, I figure somebody had to know. I mean, you can't just call up the, like, sanitation department and ask for a dumpster.
Well, but that's the point I was making earlier. Cal says nobody knew about it. He didn't know about it, so did the mayor know about it? I assume he's called the mayor at some point and asked him.
I would figure at the very least the mayor would know about it. Well, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, Cal's safety service director. I don't know why he wouldn't know about it.
Oh, there you go again.
Well, and wouldn't the most basic, I guess, tracking effort would be, as I said yesterday, there's a picture out there that Naomi Craig took and posted of this dumpster at a city employee's house, blah, blah, blah. So that in and of itself, how did that employee get that dumpster there? How was the transaction handled? what was, you know, are city employees collecting cash from people? Are they, I mean, you see what I'm saying?
That's the basic step.
Back in the days of Watergate, you know, there was a man known as Deep Throat, who was the assistant deputy director, Mark Felt, of the FBI, and he said then, follow the money.
Well, and my question here is if Mr. Cal really doesn't know when the program was started, that's a problem in and of itself, because shouldn't it be easy to figure out when the first $50 was collected? That all has to be on the books in somebody's office.
Well, I agree. We're not, you know, what's our population? I don't know, 60,000, 65,000?
Well, in the city, about, 35.
Oh, I thought that you were talking about
county. Okay, so we're in the city and county, whatever. You know, we're a relatively small community. It's not Los Angeles. It's not Columbus, for that matter. I mean, you know, everybody's X is everybody's next in this town. That's how small this town is. You know? I mean, it can't be that hard to track, and I've had this conversation with other people about this, and you know, I'm not a big follower of, or I don't buy into the whole I didn't know this, that, and the other, because, you know, it's a very small building per se. It's a small administration, and everybody knows what's going on with everybody else, you know, in this town.
No, they're good questions, and hopefully we'll hear some of these on Monday night.
All right, buddy.
Hey, thank you. Bye bye. All right, I think those are good questions. I really am flabbergasted, because all my interactions with Mr. Cal have been very forthright and honest, and him trying to get information for people. So when he got up Monday and said, I don't really know when this program started, I thought, well, now how long would it take to find out when the first dumpster was delivered?
I think, should there be a paper trail? Yeah, probably. Because if there's not, and I think that's probably not legal, you know. But
so you don't think that 3 years had anything to do with the fact that Collins has only been in 2.5?
Well, I don't remember who got up, but somebody mentioned Bodine, and then they had to, and then Rob Cal had to be like, you know, oh, well, Bodine wasn't here when this thing started.
Exactly. So, you know, that to me seemed like a very political answer. I don't know when this started, but it was before us. You know, that was kind of what it was. Well, how do you not know when it started?
Well, I mean, I think the best answer he could, if he genuinely does not know when it started, I mean, I think he should, like, you know, he should have said, I do not know when it started. I can get, you know, hit you with one of those, I can get you the answers. Just give me, you know, till next Monday.
Well, one of our listeners out there is saying, can Six on Your Side investigate Dumpstergate? Well, I don't know. It doesn't take much for him to get down here anymore. Just tell him somebody said something bad in a high school valedictorian speech, and they'll be down here. Johnny on the spot. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have anything to say on this issue. I think it's fascinating. Are we talking about a lot of money? I don't know, because I don't know how many times these dumpsters went out the last few. I think they would be losing money. It has to cost more than $50 to be dumping these things.
Yeah, see, that was my thought. I wouldn't think they've made any money. I mean, $50 for the dumpster. I mean, you got to pay for the gas. You got to pay for the people to take the dumpster. You got to pay to dump the dumpster. I mean,
well, who came up with that?
See, that doesn't exactly seem like a good enterprise.
No, and that's a whole other thing here I don't understand. Who would come up with a program like this? It all seems very strange. But if you want to call in any time this morning about this, feel free to weigh in. It's an ongoing issue. Now, we also have learned that apparently, because there was a lot of talk about the Flock cameras a couple months ago, and that they were going to go out of business in May or June if there was not funding brought forth for these. Like, and apparently,
the company was going to go, or like the ones we have?
Ours.
Oh,
ours.
I see.
The city and the county.
I was like, Flock's going out of business. That's crazy.
No, they're still in business. But apparently now what we've learned is that the sheriff department did get something like $8,000 in grants. Now, I think it's $10,000 to operate for a year. So the Flock cameras are going to stay. But who's paying the other $2,000 when you got a county and a city that have both basically said, we're not paying any money because we don't have it?
Well, I think that they're just kind of going to have to... I think the city's probably going to end up paying it. I mean...
But didn't they say we will not pay anything for these things? We don't have the money?
Yeah, but, you know... Now, I mean, I'm not opposed to the hiring of more, you know, I mean, you know, we're at something like 50-some-odd police officers, and, you know, we just got a grant to hire more police officers, we just got a grant to hire more firefighters.
I don't think we got it, we applied.
Oh. Well, didn't we get the one for the firefighters?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, well, at the very least, we applied for both of those, and, I don't necessarily think that that's a great idea. You know, we're in, we have the state as of currently is, you know, paying attention to the finances of Marion. We're supposed to have pretty, I would hope, pretty stagnant expenses. But this, by the third year, I think it's something like a 65% match that we, you know, so I don't know. I don't know that that's just a lot of money.
Well, I think we'll eventually find out where this money's going to come from because somebody will have to appropriate it.
They could.
Unless the commissioners are going to pick up the difference, which again, I
mean, they could split the difference.
Okay.
Where are all the cameras at? Are there cameras in the county?
Yep. Well, this is actually, this program was brought on by the sheriff. I mean, this was his kind of baby program.
Oh, that's terrible.
So, there you are. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I just want to jump on real quick on this flock thing and then let somebody else speak. But, there's been comments and there's been a lot of conversation about these flock cameras. There's a lot of, I think Dayton just, you know, got rid of them. There's a lot of communities that are fighting them and getting rid of them. I think with anything, there are good and bad. There's pros and cons. I think the cons outweigh the pros of this. But one of the arguments that everybody gives is that if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you worried about? So here's my proposal. If we're going to have the flock cameras, and we're going to just have that attitude, then I feel that all city administration and all of their offices and all administrators should wear body cams. And it should be on all the hours that they're doing city business and taking care of city business. Because if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you worried about? You know, it would lend a lot to the trust issues that the electorate has for politicians. It would lend to solving a lot of the issues with this whole Dumpstergate thing. But those are just my thoughts, and I just wanted to jump in real quick on that.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Great day. Bye.
All right. What do you think, Matt?
I think that the whole if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to worry about is such poor logic. I mean, I think that's a very slippery slope, you know.
Well, it's used as a broad statement, but it's never meant as a broad statement. What we're saying is, people who make that statement, I believe what they're saying is that, listen, it's the 21st century, and we have ways to do things now that we did not have 50 years ago that could help when you don't have enough police officers and you don't have enough fire people speed up a lot of this crime solving. And to not use the technology just because people feel it's infringing on their rights is not good logic until we find out that somebody has been arrested for nothing.
Why don't we just let the SWAT team go door-to-door kicking down doors, you know?
You went too far.
We'll find all of the drug dealers. We'll find all the kidnapped people. I promise you, it'll be great. No more crime. The cops will just bust into everybody's houses and problems will all be solved.
We're talking about flock cameras. We're not talking about going door-to-door. Go ahead, caller.
Well, we slipped by the dumpsters, and now we're into the slot machines. But how hard would it be to find out truck miles? Where did they dump this refuse that they had in the dumpsters? That's a lot of time, 3, 2.5 years, whatever it may be. Where are we dumping it? And if we know where we're dumping it, where's the receipt that we got the money?
I think you've got it right. I think those are the questions we're asking ourselves now. Now, again, I don't know for sure, but...
That's just one question we're asking. We're asking something that nobody knows about. But my question is, where did it go? Is there how many facilities in this area that we can dump that kind of crap?
Well, I wouldn't say a whole lot. Now, my guess, and it's just a guess, would be that if these are city dumpsters, which my understanding is they are, and being put there by city employees, that it probably went to the city dump, but I don't know that for sure.
It probably.
Right, right.
I heard one time we had some young men, one maybe, and there was two or three, at the old swimming hole Evans Quarry. And somebody with dumpsters dumped dirt in there for some idea where they come up from it in a perfectly. All my life that I've been around was the clearest water around Marion, and then we got into the subject of water and stuff. Why would you dump stuff into a quarry like that when it could be in an emergency for drinking water? And that Evans Quarry could hold a lot of drinking water for a while until we got the situation fixed. But that's what I'm saying. They have dumped stuff in there. Could it have went in there? And why would it go? Why did they ever dump anything in Evans Quarry? Why do you go dumping stuff in bodies of water that the important thing of our life is? If you don't have water, you don't live. There's a lot of questions that goes on like that. I jump the gun. I like jumping the gun. And I like finding out, after you get the gun caught, did you shoot it? Or do you take the safety off and put it back and say, well, I'm not going to do it that way? Or did you go ahead and shoot it? But where did you shoot it at? The bullet had to go somewhere, didn't it?
It did. That's a very good question. Very good question.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And again, there are more questions, and I think that those are very good questions. You know, logic would say it probably went to the city dump, but did it? I don't know. Not for sure. Because my understanding is the city officials are saying they don't know. Or at least they haven't pulled the receipts.
I would think that if... Look, so... I think they should have had the answers last night. I mean, like, I figured...
Well, the phones are ringing. Sometimes it's feast, sometimes it's famine. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'd like to know, on these lock cameras, how many times those cameras alerted to a drug dealer or an arrest on any... whether it was somebody's wanted for some crime, and then how many times... has somebody been illegally found on these spot cameras and it was done illegal? How many times?
Well, the police department would tell you none, I believe.
Well, is there anybody in the community that has an example? Did they get in trouble by a spot camera?
I don't believe so.
If we have 100 cases where it found something good and we have one case that might be suspicious... it don't seem to me like getting rid of it is the answer.
Well, and that's the argument, I think, that's being made that Matt does not like.
Poor argument, yeah.
Well, I don't see how it's a poor argument.
Well, I think... you could go, like, all the way back to the Salem witch trial. They're like, I don't remember who it was, but there was literally, like, a woman who said that, you know, it's better that one... that 100 witches walk than one innocent person be burned alive, or however they, you know... Like, I agree. I mean, you know, guilty people tend to commit crimes. If I was innocent and I get found innocent, I'm probably not committing another crime anyways. If I was guilty, I probably am going to commit another crime because I already committed crimes.
Yeah, but in the Salem witch trials, there was no justice system like there is today.
Court system. What are you talking about?
People out and hung them up by the tree because they, you know, thought they was horse thief or something like that.
You went to court.
No,
you went to court.
But what is the argument? I guess I don't understand this. If a flock camera, which we have been told, only reads license plates, and you have access, if you want, to go down to City Hall and look at what the records that they keep and look at the video, they've offered this. So why is there such suspicion? They've offered everything up to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Has anybody run down there and taken them up on their offer to look at this stuff?
You know, you're automatically assuming that the city is using it for, you know, malicious use.
No. I don't think they are. I wouldn't say
and
that they are.
People off the streets that are wanted for crimes, rapes, kidnapping, drugs, to me, is a lot more pressing than one person that thinks they might have been, you know, surveilled by those lock cameras, but yet they can't prove it.
Right, and so in a case like a kidnapping, if these lock cameras, which we're told they don't, but if they indeed were focused in on people's houses, and that did help you solve a kidnapping, what's wrong with that?
Yes. I don't know, I just can't see how people, you know, are against it.
It's strange. Thank you. Okay, well, give us an answer. Phone lines are open, by the way, 740-383-9944.
I wouldn't say that the city is using them, you know, illegally or however you want to phrase that. I just think, I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, they just could, and I don't like that they could. It's the same thing with the Patriot Act. I think we're just giving the government, like, a stupid amount of power for no reason.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, me again.
No problem.
I walk in step with your former caller, just, you know, primarily 95%. As he said, he'd like to know these things. I posed this question multiple times on the radio. A month ago, I posed this about if there are so many cases out there where they've used this flock camera in the Marion community to solve these crimes, put it out there. And the only one that I've ever heard of, or the only one they harp on, is the one, and it was a good job, where the man came from another state, had talked to this boy through a game console on the internet, and had kidnapped him, and they used the flock cameras to track him. So as I said in my former call, prior call, is that there are pros and cons to everything. It's how much of our rights do we want to give away to have those things. So we have to be careful with that whole, well, if you're not doing nothing wrong, because when we start getting complacent with our rights and we let them whittle away at them, next thing you know, they're going to take a big old chopping block to them. Because when we give this government, any government, an inch, they take a mile. So I think there's good things. I think there's good that comes from it. But as I've said, and I would think that if these... if the police, if the sheriff in this town could list all of these crimes that had been solved, they'd already done it. On the other hand, we keep saying, you said that, well, they said you could come down and you can check the files and you can check this and this, and so we have nothing to hide. Okay, well, that's a trust issue. You know, I go by, you know, you listen to people's words and then you go by their actions. So we're trusting that they're going to give us access to everything. We're trusting that they're going to give us access to the files that we asked for. There's a young lady in this town named Naomi Craig that lost her mother and for 50 years begged the city police for information. And then just last year, it was reopened again and it was found out that there's a confession sitting in the file. So those actions right there are what build distrust and like, oh, I'm going to go in there and they're going to give me all the files. They're going to give me the videos. They're going to tell me the truth. Wow.
Well, and I think that's the point. I mean, they have to know that the flock camera conversation is going to come up Monday since they have been renewed. So if they were smart, I would think the police department would bring these stories of how flock cameras have helped them to counsel on Monday because they have to know they're going to get asked.
And they would if they could. And just I'm pretty sure, I'm looking for the article, I'll put it back out there, but Dayton just is taking actions to get rid of them, shut them down, because, and I'm not positive on this, but I'm pretty sure it was about the administrator who was, you know, had the highest integrity and character and all this they put in place to run this, and they found out that he was tracking girlfriends and other kinds of things like that.
And it's a point. Hey, thanks. Right. I think, you know, that is a point. And the again, this is one of those PR things. They have to know they're going to be asked about this on Monday, because now people are aware that the flock cameras are renewed. If they were smart in the PR department, they would come with all these cases in which flock cameras have helped them Monday night. They've got 3 days to get ready for that.
I do believe they use flock cameras to find... I don't know if it's the same story or not, but they found a guy at Meijer or something like that who had a stolen truck from out of state. I don't know if that's the same story that he was talking about.
Well, I think they better have some of this information on the dumpsters Monday night, too.
Well, they should have had information on the dumpsters last Monday, because they had to have known the questions were coming.
Well, that ship sailed. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, when you're out on the streets or anywhere out in public, you have no right to, privacy. If somebody's taking your picture, you can't say, well, give me that camera, give me that picture back. If you go into a store, you can't say, turn off the cameras because I'm coming in. When you go out in public, there is no right of privacy.
Well, you know what? You make a very interesting point, because, not that it's a crime, but we just did the big story last week about the Cardington graduation. Now, the story there is that somebody obviously was recording that graduation, and because that principal pushed that kid out of the way, the valedictorian, that's the footage that got sent down to the television stations, and if the television stations had not had that footage, that story would not have went anywhere. Now, is it okay just to video? Because I'm sure the school was not happy with that. I'm sure they did not grant permission to be filmed during their graduation. So you're making a very good point here. Do we just have to understand, listen, everybody's got a phone, everybody's got a camera, everybody's got pictures, you can send them to television stations, and when you're outside, you just better be aware.
You go get your gas, you're going to be recorded.
Because it's interesting that everybody cheered that kid on because we all got to see the video, but yet we're arguing basically against that point here, saying, well, now, wait a second, you shouldn't be allowed to film everything that goes on.
Right.
And that was in a building, private building.
Public, you know.
The school is the authority in that situation. There was a non-authority person recording, I guess, authority.
Cameras on the school grounds, and I don't even...
You are in charge of the government, not the other way around.
I don't know if that would be legal to say no cameras on school grounds.
Well, your argument is what?
I don't think it would be legal for a school to say no cameras on school grounds.
But what's Matt's argument?
Basically, it's a different kind... If I'm taking a picture in public and you are in the background of my picture, I mean, that's a bit of a different thing than just constantly having videotape running. And the authority, and the police. I mean, if you...
But that's what they did at graduation. I'm sure that graduation was being filmed by the school. I'm sure what was in a private building, it wasn't outside. And it was on school grounds. So, should the school have the right to say you can't plop your camera out there and just start recording things and sending it off to television stations? I think they probably should have that right, but they don't. So, you know what? If they have to take it on the nose, I guess we do too.
It's like a freedom thing. I mean, I think they have the ability to use their phone to record a graduation ceremony that they are at.
Just like celebrities, when they're out in public and you want to take a picture of them, they're fair game.
That's right. Paparazzi's legal.
Yep.
All right.
When I wanted to make
well, that's what we got. Listen, didn't we cheer on the old rooster down there?
No, we did not cheer on the rooster.
Well, the audience did. That's the way to do it. Ambush interviews now. That's how you get it done.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. See? You can't have it both ways. You can't say... Just because the police have a legal route to go to haul your rear end in if you did something illegal, and say, well, that's okay. That's not okay that they film you for other things. But if you want to get the authority figure in trouble, if you want to get the principal in trouble or the school district, or if you want to get the politician or you want to get the celebrity in trouble, well, all right, they have no right to privacy.
Well, no, I mean, I guess legally, yeah. But I mean, legally, my whole point's moot anyways, because I've been ruled against by every court that it's ever been taken to. So like, it's
go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, he's back.
Yeah, no prob.
I'm not an all or nothing person, and so I get it with the whole in a public space we're being recorded everywhere. I've had these same issues with my neighbor and outdoor perimeter cameras and all of that. For me, the difference is when your government or your police, these flock cameras are linked to the cruisers. They can, in real time, track you, track anybody, and they can track you for the good. I'm all for that. I said that. People don't seem to hear everything. They hear what they want to hear. They also can be used for nefarious reasons. As I stated, you had an administrator who was tracking girlfriends or potential girlfriends or things like that. Those are the things that should not be used for. Even the flock representative who came to Marion and spoke at length, way past 10 minutes, about the flocks, and he said, no, you know, you can't do that. But it's all about who's administering. You know, the camera's taking pictures, and they're saying, well, we just focus on the license plates. But the whole picture is being taken. You know, now they are doing audio. Now they're going to add audio to it so that they can, you know, track gunshots, or they can track, you know, somebody's calls in about fireworks or something. Those are good things, absolutely. You know what those microphones are also going to do? They're going to be able to listen to people sitting on their porches just having average conversations. Now, my cameras on my house, absolutely, they pick up random conversations, people walking by, but they don't have the capability to pick up and track and store and then and seek in real time real action against you. They see you, it goes straight to the police. The police have these cameras on their vehicles. So, you know, say you're somebody who's an agitator or who's somebody they call an agitator and just wants good city government and wants people to be represented. Next thing you know, everywhere you go, you got cops following you almost immediately. But you're short on cops in this town, but they sure track my ass.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a good point. It's a good point. We got a break, but we're coming back with more of this conversation right after this short but important timeout. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Oh, there is another Marla.
Yeah, Danny's daughter. No, that's Marlo.
Oh, that's right, Marlo.
She's calling me